We just can't, so we'd have to have people look a little.
Commissioner Cooley?
Yes, here.
Recording in progress.
Chair Ekstrom?
Here.
Commissioner Finch?
Here.
Commissioner Kilkenny? Commissioner Peterson?
Here.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner Thompson?
All right, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In your packets, you received the draft of the September 24th meeting minutes. After reviewing, any changes, comments? Hearing none, accepted as presented. We'll start with our public hearing portion, and the first part is I won't do my spiel yet because it has a hearing has been canceled, and there was a memo, and I believe Daisy and Dan were going to. Were you giving us additional information?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there's a memo from Dan Kearns, who's on the call, and he can provide more information if there's specific questions or concerns. But basically, after the hearing that we had done on the conditional use permit to allow a short-term rental, we ran it by Dan, and we don't run every land use application by him, but we figured since that was a more controversial one, we wanted to make sure we were procedurally doing everything correctly. And what he told us was there's actually case law establishing short-term rentals as a residential use. So we don't have the authority to regulate it as a commercial use unless our code specifically adopts standards for short-term rentals. And there's other kind of downstream issues with that. If the Planning Commission was ever interested in adopting specific regulations around short-term rentals, his recommendation would be to do that through like a business licensing type of program, or like a short-term rental occupancy taxation type of process, rather than it being a land usage because of prior case law and then the implications on non-conforming existing short-term rentals. So that was his advice. He provided a really well-written memo, sort of extrapolating on the case law behind that. But basically, the rule of thumb, as far as our county is concerned, is since we don't have short-term rental ordinances, we don't have any authority to regulate them as anything other than a residential use. So just like you can have a tenant or a roommate or rent your house out as a rental, you have in our county as of today the ability to also rent out your home through Airbnb or VRBO as a residential use.
Daisy, so was the application, so they were allowed to continue with the rental?
Yep. Yes, so they'll be allowed to continue doing it. In this case, the applicant was at one point under code enforcement for operating a short-term rental out of a non-residential structure, which of course is still a violation of the code and would still remain an enforcement issue. But that's something that would be processed, again, as a code enforcement action rather than like a land use application type action. So.
Will it proceed then?
No, the use of the non-dwelling structure will not continue as a short-term rental, and we will continue to pursue code enforcement actions if needed. But the application we received was to rent out a room in the subject of an applicant's home, which is, again, it's an allowed residential use.
I was looking at this too. It looked like he was basing it on one appellate court decision.
Yeah.
Rather than, it looked like you could regulated if you want to. This mm-hmm. was just his opinion based on that appellate
right.
court case.
Right. So many jurisdictions do regulate short-term rentals, and many of them, especially if they adopted regulations, kind of when this just started becoming a thing, like mm-hmm. that was an effective use. But at this point, his feedback to us was that if we were to just put in a land use that says short-term rentals are allowed subject to these standards, for example, then it would automatically make it so that basically anything that was existing prior to that adoption date would be grandfathered in, and we wouldn't be able to impose restrictions or limitations on it. So
not to belabor it, but I see his point, but I was kind of questioning why I regulate it with tax, because that penalizes everybody.
Yeah.
And if they're, you know, if you're grandfathered in, you're grandfathered in, it seems to me like it'd be a good idea to put it in the code so we could have some teeth to deal with those things as commission. I don't know. That was just my opinion. I didn't really agree with what he was saying.
That's good, yeah. And Dan can respond and maybe elaborate on his memo more. But that was my understanding. Obviously, the commission may absolutely adopt short-term rental regulations if that's the route they choose to go. But maybe if Dan wants to speak a little bit more to your recommendation, that could be helpful.
And maybe that's
sure.
Thank you.
There are a lot of reasons to regulate short-term rentals, and they are quickly becoming like the third rail of Oregon land use law these days. The thing for counties are hit differently under your regulatory authority. So the non-conforming use provision that Daisy mentioned, that's in state law, and it's only affects counties, not cities. So that makes it kind of difficult for counties to regulate short-term rentals as a land use type. And so my county clients, I recommend, if you want to regulate them, there are a lot of good reasons to do so, do it as a business regulation, attendant to getting a short-term rental business license. Because once you establish or recognize them in your development code, it kicks in this ORS 215-130 and gives all the pre-existing short-term rentals non-conforming use status, and it becomes very difficult to regulate any of the existing STRs. You can do it as a business regulation, though that's clear. And the only case law out there about are they residential or commercial, even though they look commercial, the only appellate case law says they're inherently residential, not commercial. So,
could you do both? Could you regulate it in the code and regulate it as a business in the business license?
It is just very difficult to regulate them as a land use. And so all the regulations that you'd want to impose as a land use matter, and the big issues are nuisance, you know, and this is a big deal more in the coastal communities and Bend and Hood River, where they are, you know, their houses in residential zones. And on every weekend in the summer, it's like a frat party, wild frat party. And so it's the nuisance is the big problem. And so if you want to, you know, limit noise, limit numbers of people, require parking, require a bunch of kind of life safety requirements, limitations on number of days or people or bedrooms, do it as a business regulation. And that way you don't run into the non-conforming use problem, because once you acknowledge it as a land use, you can't, none of your new regulations would apply to them, period. So if you want to regulate them as a county, do it as a business regulation.
Thank you, Dan. Any additional questions, or is Dan or Daisy on that? With that, we'll move on. Good evening. My name is Stacy Ekstrom. I'm the chair for the Morrow County Planning Commission, and I'll proceed over tonight's meeting. Persons who wish to provide testimony may do so orally or in writing. Testimony and evidence must be directed toward the applicable criteria. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision makers and parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes an appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Please sign the sign-in sheet is in the back of the room and make a note in chat if you are wanting to present testimony. And please speak clearly when identified by the chair. Give your name, spelling, and your address. If you have exhibits for our consideration, please provide those to staff. If you would like to request the commission to hold open the record and continue the hearing, you must request this before the public portion of the hearing is closed. With saying that, I call this hearing to order. The first hearing is going to be presented by Daisy, and it is conditional use request CUPN 377-24, and sorry if I butcher any names, Tanya DeNavo, owner and applicant. At this time, I call for any abstentions, ex parte contacts, or conflicts of interest. Hearing and seeing none. Daisy?
Just one second. Chair and the audience, first of all, Matt, our administrator, apologizes. He didn't realize we had a hearing here tonight. That's okay. But we are, I think we're fully legal, just this is less convenient. So normally that nice map that's displayed on the smaller screen would be on the bigger screen. And then also, if anyone wants copies of these maps, there's extra copies of the packet back there.
Okay, so will you also keep an eye on the chat and see?
Yeah, that's why I moved up here.
Tamara, I'll keep an eye on the chat. We've got one comment from Carla McLean. She'd like to comment on the three CUPs concerning the trucking operations in Boardman UGB. And then just to let you know, I'm sharing the map currently so the folks that are on on the meeting electronically can see my screen.
Yeah, and we can see that. It's just this small regular desk-size monitor sitting behind Stacy.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and most of those we also have paper copies of. So just let Carla know. Carla, when the chair calls for testimony, you can provide testimony.
Thank you, Tamara. Thank you, Chair Ekstrom. Thank you, members of the commission. This is conditional use permit N37724. This isn't the first trucking operation application that we've received and that you guys have reviewed. It is the largest that we've received so far. So the request is for 6 trucks and 15 trailers. A few other nuances to this one that didn't really come up last time is, or in prior similar conditional use permits, was there was substantial public comments in opposition, which I'm imagining we'll hear from some of the opponents tonight, which, as you guys are aware, the conditional use permit process for home occupations in particular, a large part of the reason why it comes to the Planning Commission is in order to consider testimony and ensure that it's not in conflict with the residential neighborhood. The other nuance is that this use takes place on 2 separate tax lots. So there's a developed tax lot with the house, I think like a standalone laundry room and some other like outbuildings, residential structures, and then the trucking operation occurs on an adjacent parcel that's actually more close to the road. So in prior applications, as you can kind of see, we don't have the map up, unfortunately, but if you look in your packet, on page, the vicinity map's on page 21 of your packet. And you can see tax lot 900 is adjacent to Boardman Canal Road, and then tax lot 1200 is on the corner of the cul-de-sac and the primary road that intersects this property. So there's 2 accesses. There's an access to tax lot 900 and a separate access to 1200. 1200, again, isn't developed with anything except for this trucking business, and the way that our code is worded, we do have a provision that requires the use to be conducted on the same property, secondary to the primary use of the property as a residence. And so that kind of creates a conflict, or a consideration that hasn't come up before, is that there is sort of that question of, is it secondary to the primary use of the property, and then is it occurring like on the same property, and how we would interpret that provision. So we can go through this. If you guys have received this packet, it's got a number of public comments. I think 4 of them were related to this application. We got several comments related to lighting and existing lighting. Noise was another piece. Potholes or like damage to the road occurring more generally from commercial operation of trucking in the West Glen residential neighborhood. General residential impacts and I think that's the bulk of it. At the hours, some people had provided testimony about it being, you know, conducted really early in the morning. And the other thing is that there isn't an attempt to conceal the operation from like the public view. I think in prior commercial operations, we've seen some attempt to sort of like park the trucks behind the house or away from the road in a way that sort of mitigates the appearance, but that was another piece, was sort of just the general visual appearance of the trucking operation as being like front and center on the corner of the road. So that's the bulk of the opposition that we received. And I think that we will need to adjust our findings to address the public testimony received, regardless of which direction the Planning Commission goes with it.
Did you want to have them accept those four items into the...
Yeah, if you've reviewed those, just accept comment number A, B, C, and D into the record.
I need a motion to accept A, B, C, and D.
And I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Okay. Those have been added. Anybody there? Probably not.
Sure.
Commissioner Cooley, was that a yes vote?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I was trying to find my mute button again.
Okay, at this point, I invite the applicant proponent to present testimony and evidence. And please remember to state your name, and spell your name and your address.
Good evening, my name is Tanya DeNova, T-A-N-I-A-D-E-N-O-V-A. My address is 70216 Ridgecrest Drive in Boardman, Oregon.
Okay, the floor is yours.
All right, okay, so ever since we found out about us possibly applying for this conditional use permit, we decided to just go ahead and do it because we do want to meet the zoning ordinances. We do want to be in code. And our plan is to not stay there forever. We do plan, since we are expanding, we are planning, we're looking to move out of there. But since we do have a large amount of trucks and trailers, it is taking us a little bit longer than we would like. But our plan is just to be able to, for the moment being, just be able to comply with what the county is asking for. We just want to meet all the codes and to be able to stay there for now. But that's basically it.
Can I ask
Yes, if that's all, I invite the commission and staff to ask questions at this time.
What are your hours of operation?
For right now, we're operating from 5 or 6 in the morning to about 5 or 6 p.m. Just depends on the harvest. Sometimes it might be earlier. They might come home earlier, around 3 or 4. Just depends on the season and what the harvest is.
At this location, do you, and I know that everybody has seen the ones we have approved, and have been much smaller.
Yeah.
Is there a shop on this location where trucks are being worked on? Because that seems to also be, like, the lights on and stuff. So I didn't remember reading if the maintenance is done there, or do you have another location in which you go for the maintenance?
Can I address the lighting first? Mm-hmm. So the lighting is actually on our house, and it's pointing towards the back, towards the canal, so it's not pointing directly where that shop would be. So we don't use that lighting for any of the trucking purposes. It's more for us because it rarely is dark there in that area. So that's mostly for us. I have small children, and it does get pretty dark earlier, and our yard is back there, our dog is back there, so that's mostly for us. And for the maintenance and repairs, we do have, for tires, lugs, for any other repairs, we do contact our mechanics.
It goes to an
outside. It goes to an outside shop. We don't have mechanics, so we're just a trucking company.
What is the timeline of, I know a lot of these that we've done, we've looked at potato harvest, but these are not potato trucks, potato trucks. So you start harvesting the spring and end in the fall, is that what, I mean, it's a 9 month out of the year kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody have any additional questions? I guess I do. I'm sorry. This one's just different than the ones we've done, and the reason we've done it is try to get people the ability to go. As for trying to find locations, are you having any luck on finding additional space?
The ones that we do find, since we're kind of a little bit more educated in the subject now, they're not zoned correctly, and that's something that we just struggle with. We're looking for a light industrial right now. and we haven't been able to find one that's a reasonable price for us.
How long has your business been in operation at this location?
At this location, we moved in into 2021, so we were. And I do want to mention, I know we mentioned five, six trucks and 15 trailers, but they're not there year round. We do rent most of them. I would say, like, right now, if you were to look at our property, there's about five trailers, there are six trailers, and we do have those trucks that stay out the whole week, and we do maybe have two or three that are come back home at night.
Yeah, so there's not multiple trips. It's a leave in the morning, come back.
Yeah, and then a lot of, I have a driver that's from Umatilla and then some other areas, so they just take them to where they live. They don't all come back.
Chair, can I ask, what was Michaela or Caitlin or Daisy, what was the maximum number that we've permitted up to this point? I think it was four trucks.
I think it was eight off Olson, right?
The one that's off of Olson? Mm-hmm. In Olson, is there access?
Yes.
So this is quite a bit larger than mm-hmm. the others you've permitted. Can I ask another question?
Oh, yes, please.
So I know Daisy pointed out your proposal was to use your vacant lot in addition to the lot with your house, mm-hmm. which is, I'm not sure how we do that because it's a home occupation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Planning Commission could make a decision to limit it to only the parcel that has the house. Daisy also has an option for a covenant not to sell separately. I'm not so sure legally which one we can pursue, which one's better. Can I just ask one more question?
Oh, no,
do you understand that this is for 1 year? It only gets you 1 year with the opportunity to renew?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I was made, they explained it to me when I picked up.
Okay. And we want to make sure that people know that's clear mm-hmm. because we're getting a lot of pushback from neighbors and the city. Because it's not a commercial zone, it's not a trucking zone.
Yeah.
So it's to help your small businesses mm-hmm. while you find a place. Okay,
yeah.
That's, thank you.
So on the legality of that, can we ask you?
Yeah,
question?
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
Will you raise it to us?
Hey, Dan, can you chime in on this question about whether or not the Planning Commission could allow the trucks or trailers to be parked on the vacant lot since this is a home occupation permit and the home is on one lot, obviously not on the vacant lot?
Typically, the notion of the truck operation is that it's a home occupation, so it's accessory to, it's subordinate to an underlying occupational use of the property, so it has to be on the property with the house. And you can't have just a standalone kind of parking or storage area on a separate lot that it's not accessory to. So that's one of the big constraints for this being a home occupation that's accessory to the primary residential use.
Okay, thank you, Dan.
Just to clarify, so your home is on tax lot 900? So if I can interpret, Dan just said we would need to add a condition that limits them to just tax lot 900.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you have a home on 1200 and come in for a separate permit, this would be limited to that. Can you fit six trucks and 15 trailers on tax lot 900 with your home?
I would have to see where the limits are for that area because there's nothing that separates our house from that other tax lot. There's no road or anything. It's all just
no fence.
Big.
Mm-hmm.
Just one big space right there.
The alternative is to eliminate that property line separating them, the two lots, and consolidate them as a single tax lot. But right now this application is just for the one tax lot, so that would be kind of a different deal to change the lot configuration for this. But that's a possibility. For just being a 1 year lifespan, though, it's, you know, it'd be major surgery on this lotting pattern to do that, but that would maintain the accessory requirement.
Okay, thank you. Any additional questions or questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you. Invite at this time, invite opponents to testify and present evidence.
Daisy, do you want to suggest a condition about the lighting?
Yeah,
Daisy, was that opponents or proponents? I'm sorry, you were not clear.
Opponents.
So now you're asking for opponents?
Opponents to testify and present evidence at this time.
Will there be a neutral opportunity?
Yep.
Thanks.
Stacey, the the four letters were really in opposition.
Right, yes. Everyone has those. We were sent them via email and printed and have been put into the record.
Well, the first one really isn't in opposition. It's just the opposition of the spotlights on the home.
Yeah. Yep. Which should be addressed as a condition. Daisy mentioned that in her staff report.
Yeah. Even though it's on the home, not the...
Well, if it's bothering neighbors and it's a conditional use, we want to make those neighbors, this is my opinion, you can choose.
No,
we want to make those properties as compatible as possible.
I just wanted to make sure that we could do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great. So everyone's had time to review those. Okay, at this time, I call for interest parties or agencies with neutral testimony or evidence.
Do you want to raise your hand, Carla?
Yeah. Did you hear? Okay.
I think you can go.
So Carla's got her hand up.
Okay. I thought she heard me. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carla.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Carla McLean, planning official for the city of Boardman. Address is Post Office Box 229, Boardman, Oregon 97818. In looking at the staff report that has been done, the city appreciates that you have acknowledged that the property is within the Boardman UGB. We do continue to have concerns if and or when any of these properties would need to be annexed, whether because the residents desire that, or it becomes a need relative to how we address the water issues, any number of items. This particular use is not a use that's allowed in the city, so we continue to have those concerns. And again, it is in violation of your development code that says that trucking operations can only have one truck for personal use. So, well, we're certainly not recommending you deny this. I think that the Planning Commission should look at these very carefully and make sure that the applicants have a clear understanding of the limitations. And I just would ask for additional clarification on what the timeline is to clear the code violations or to find another mechanism for authorization or approval. Thanks. The opportunity to testify is appreciated.
Thank you, Carla. Is there any additional?
There's nothing in the chat, Chair.
Okay. I invite the applicant if there is any rebuttal testimony or any final comments. If you're good, okay. If anyone would like to continue the hearing or hold the record open. Okay, at this time, we will close the public hearing. So this is a hard one. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that. I do feel that we have to follow, I know we're trying to get them into code. We do have to follow that the home occupancy needs to all be on lot 900. That's the correct lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the things I believe we need to add to that.
So do you want to rewrite condition number one? Do you want some language for that?
Yeah. Definitely number one, to put it that we're
that it's on the lot with the home. So however you think that that's the best way to wordsmith that.
Page 16 provides sort of two options. Planning Commission may include a condition limiting the proposed occupation to only tax lot 900. And then I also included the covenant not to sell separately, but just a little bit more of a precarious interpretation. Given the neighborhood opposition and comments we received, that's perfectly reasonable. So I would just maybe recommend saying just that the home occupation is limited to only tax lot 900, and that the operation on tax lot 1200 is a violation of the code.
So I just sort of cut out the condition one, and it could read like this if you want. It could say the use must be subordinate to the primary use of the property as a residence and must be on tax lot 900 only.
Yes. Let's see here.
And do you want to consider a condition about the glare, to reduce glare? That might be a new condition since that came in after the staff report went out.
Yeah, and there's, so I think, let's see, two is good. Three,
I see how you're going through them. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a, my brain works that way.
You're more linear. That makes sense. Okay.
We're not, I mean, this, I guess it's important to make sure that it is an in-out once, you know, out once, in once, you know, at night. It did feel like there were a few people that thought there was more and that there was running all night, but we do have the condition in here. About time, so I think that clears up a few of the concerns that came in on our.
I have a question. On number four, it says five full time or part time persons, but you have six trucks. How does that work?
Tanya?
It says no more than five full-time or part-time, but you have six trucks. Are those trucks always being used, or do you only have a certain amount of drivers and there's a truck parked?
No, there's only a certain amount of drivers, and we do have like backup in case, because we do get a lot of breakdowns. So it's not being used.
Okay.
So it's 5 a.m. We've done 6 a.m. for other applications, but the applicant specifically requested 5 a.m.
Oh, okay.
So that's worth discussing.
Yeah.
I guess the hard part with that's noisy. It's a noise issue is where we're coming into that. So I think that we need to keep them the same time as our other.
Consistent.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I
agree. And I can't remember if that's a 6 to 6.
I think that's what it's been in the past. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to put call number three also, Chair, and the limitation on trips?
So only one in and one out per vehicle per day.
I mean, I know emergencies happen. I'm not trying it that hard, but it's we need to limit the amount of trips in and out of that location.
That might be. Are you suggesting, Commissioner Finch, a new condition or adding to one?
Could you put it with hours? Would that be appropriate, or does it need to be another condition?
I think we could do either one. What's your choice?
Let's add it to hours then. I don't know how you word it, no multiple trips per day or just single.
Let's see.
How about there shall be only a single trip out and a single trip in per day per truck?
Per unit,
unless their truck breaks down, I have to bring it back and fix it.
They go to a shop.
They do auto repairs at shops, or you don't do any at your home site? Okay. And number five, that's where you would address the lighting, because it says lighting shall be limited to those generally anticipated for typical residential use, but that's what their spotlights are for, so...
I think we could also add that the existing lighting should be... updated to angle towards their own property and prohibit glare on the neighboring property.
So would you add that to six?
I think that makes...
Five.
Mm-hmm. I think so. That works. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's where it's addressed.
And then I think 6 is the one that's been pretty standard in all of our mm-hmm. applications to try to get it in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
There shouldn't be any signage. Does anybody have any additional?
Are you going to address the number?
The 15 trailers and...
And the conditions?
Well, they have to be able to fit them in. So we're making the use that they have to be able to fit them on.
Tax lot
900 and not the empty lot 1200. So it's not that it's a small lot, but trucks don't just park in tiny little spots. So
what's the most we approved?
We did 8.
And that was for 8 units. That was like 8 trailers, trucks, grand total 8.
I think it was a grand total of 8. It wasn't 8 trucks plus trailers.
We did do one that's a little bit more because we had one that had multiple trailers too. That one,
in addition to the 8? Okay.
I thought, but I don't know. But that, I mean, that's...
But she also said that the trailers, there's not 15 trailers there ever.
Yeah. Right, you said your trailers are partially leased, so they're not there all they're not there all year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many, I wonder, at how many at a time the most you have?
Right now we have 6 at the house. Well, I have a problem.
Is that max that you normally have, or?
I think max would be 7.
7?
Yeah.
I guess we could put in...
Commissioner Smith, on a 1-acre parcel, can you fit 6 trucks and 15 trailers with a house and a shop?
I don't think so.
He's had some experience with this, so put you on the spot a little bit.
I have 10 acres and where my shop is, and I wouldn't.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm. I will allow, since we're asking questions, try to do some clarifying.
The house is kind of placed right in the center of tax lot 1 on 1200 and 900, so the rest of 900, our backyard is all of this yard. And the 1200 is gravel. That's where we have all the trucks parked. So I did see on the paperwork that if I retail covenant, because when I do sell, I'm not going to sell separately. It'll be together. I'm not separating the tax lots. So would that be an option? Since I did see on the notes, one of the covenants.
That's what the lawyer said.
It is possible.
Well, if I agree to it, since I'm...
It's an option, as Dan had stated, but it's a time, there's an expense to it.
I think what she's asking is a little bit different than what Dan was suggesting.
Okay.
Dan was suggesting you replat and combine 2 lots into 1, and she's suggesting a covenant not to sell separately.
Oh, gotcha.
If you mind, the other piece of that too is that when she sells it, the condition uses
goes away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily.
That's right.
I think that's worth considering too. I don't know how applicable a covenant not to sell separate would be.
We'd have to work on that agreement. So rather than limiting it to 900, that's an option. Are you comfortable with that, Dan?
Yes, that would work. And if it's limited to just tax lot 900, I don't know that you need to have the don't sell separately requirement.
Right. The applicant, maybe you didn't hear her, but she was just asking the Planning Commission if we could, rather than limiting the trucks and trailers to 900, if we had a covenant not to sell separately, so she could use both lots.
I guess so. So you basically view the 2 lots combined as the residential lot?
That's right. Yeah. I guess in theory.
It's a good theory.
Okay.
Is it to get us in trouble?
Yes.
I guess I don't know how to go about that part. My non-planning brain doesn't have that
in it.
Yeah, I think it works.
Yeah, I think the two issues that come up though with the if we do the operation on 1200 would be screening from the road or having